Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Well, today on Franchise Euphoria, we have on Greg Sossaman, who is the CEO of Topper's Craft Creamery. He's also a certified franchise executive and has spent his entire career in franchising, both as a franchisee for Domino's Pizza and in leadership roles in operations and development with several large, well-known brands. He also is a published author of a book called Inside the Box, The Power of Complementary Branding. And today we talk a good bit about complementary branding, what that is, and how that applies to his franchise, Topper's Craft Creamery. So without further ado, enjoy this episode with Greg. Hello, Greg. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. I mean, you're the CEO of Topper's Craft Creamery, a franchise business, but you also have a tremendous background as a franchisee and in other capacities. And so I love having somebody on who's worn the dual hats. You know, you've been a franchisee, now you're trying to expand as a franchisor. So if you would take a couple minutes and kind of give us the brief rundown on your background and your business history.
Oh, sure. You bet. And again, thanks for having me. You know, being a franchisee and being a franchisor, it's kind of like you're on two different sides of the river at times. And so it's nice to have been on both sides so I can kind of cross that bridge between the two. And so I started out corporately with Domino's and moved up to director level. I guess I was on fast track. And then at the ripe old age of 27, my wife and I had an opportunity to buy the three Domino's franchises in Gainesville, which that's why I joined Domino's. So back in 1988, right after I turned 28, my wife and I bought three Domino's franchises, added some more in Jacksonville and Lake City. So we got where we were operating eight Domino's franchises. We made a quality of life decision. As a family man, we wanted to be back closer to my wife's parents just because they were such a great influence on our family. And as a kind of a family first guy, we had to sell our Domino's franchises because you have to live where you're operating, at least at that time. And so we moved down in the Tampa area where we still live now. And I kind of went forward in my corporate career. And so I was with a couple of different brands. I was a consultant for Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins for 7 years, which that was where I got my first taste of multi-branding, complementary branding. After I was with them for 5 years, they formed a complementary daypart branding task force. Four consultants in the U.S. with a VP, and the job of the task force was to figure out how do you combine brands together. And I raised my hand to be a part of that task force, and I just was really excited to do that. So I spent 2 years doing that. Left there, went with Beef O'Brady's, ran operations and franchise sales for a few years for the U.S. And then my partner and I co-founded Topper's back in 2006. And so here we are today. I just came out with a book on complementary branding because I just have such a passion about it. I wanted to share the experience with everybody.
So tell me about Topper's. It's an ice cream concept, but tell us about not just what it is, but how you and your business partner came up with the idea to do it after working for several different franchise companies.
Sure. You know, it's funny. My partner, Wade, was the guy that was the chief operating officer that he and his team built Papa John's up to a $1 billion brand. And then he left that. But Wade also, it continues today to be one of their largest franchisees. He owns 51 Papa John's franchises. He has also since then bought the rights to Qdoba, Fresh Mexican Grill, in Orlando and Tampa. And then we together decided to do Topper's. We wanted to create a legacy company, so it would be something that people within our organization would give them an opportunity to be franchise owners, because they weren't going to be franchise owners with Papa John's. And so in our team, in our team only group, Wade's average GM has been with him for north of 15 years, which is just unprecedented. You know, and you're in the franchise business, people just don't stick around that long. And so Wade wanted to create opportunities for his people. And to hear him talk about it, it's kind of funny. He says, look, my favorite three foods are pizza, burritos, and ice cream. And so he had the two, so let's do an ice cream concept. And so here we are.
Well, and so what is Toppers? So how is Toppers different from your typical ice cream shop, from Baskin Robbins, from Grater's, or any of the typical ice cream shops?
We are a soft serve frozen custard franchise. And so it's the frozen custard that the Core Brothers founded on the boardwalk on Coney Island back in 1919. And we saw soft serve as a category that when you look at the appeal, and we found these numbers out a little bit later, but just our senses told us that soft serve was more an appealing product than the hard pack. And we have since found out that 70% of the ice cream that's consumed outside the home is soft serve. And then we looked at the brands like the McDonald's and the Wendy's and the Chick-fil-A's, and all of them are carrying a soft serve ice cream product. It's not a yogurt. And so we initially thought, gosh, you know, freestanding drive-through locations, you know, we do, and we have seven of those. And that's what we started with. But from day one, because of my experience in complementary branding, we had engineered Toppers to succeed specifically as a co-brand. And so, but we thought, you know, we'll roll that out later. And so we were going along, and one of the things we've learned is that the reality of today is, with the cost of real estate, a freestanding ice cream only brand is not a great business model. And so even some of the nationals that are, you know, some of the national products that historically have done freestanding ice cream only shops are really going non-traditional. The Häagen-Dazs of the world and Ben & Jerry's of the world are going into the college campuses and, you know, and different than doing the freestanding or inline spaces that they used to. And so because we had designed Toppers to succeed as a complementary brand, in 2012, we opened our first one with Aramark as a partner inside of JP Morgan Chase in East Tampa. And we said, hey, let's see how it's going to work. And we opened up, and then we've gone from there. And now we're in, you know, now we're in several different locations. So what we needed to do is we've gone very methodically, I guess, is the best way to do it. So we wanted to make sure we had proof of concept and that this works and that it was always going to be successful before we started having people spend their own money or, you know, in that way, because we're, it's just a, probably a different motivation than most franchisors where, hey, how many of these franchises can we sell? It's all about, it's a cash grab. And we're just not doing that. We're looking to build a legacy company with a strong foundation. So everybody that opens this thing is really going to be in a good situation and has a really, really strong opportunity to succeed.
Well, so you kind of snuck in there, but we're going to go back to it. You snuck in there, the complementary branding, sometimes known as fractional franchising, stuff like that. Explain what that is and why you are attracted to that model.
I think the people that originated this were Starbucks. So if you go back and look, you know, probably almost 20 years, Starbucks started a part of their company. It's called We Proudly Brew. And what they said is, they said, when you look at military bases and colleges and university campuses and healthcare, and then the hospitality industry, you know, they were serving coffee, and it was plain coffee, and it was what it was. And so they said, gosh, we have the operating systems, we have the supply chain, we have the quality of product, and what if we offered those in a unique way to those different venues? And so the on-site operator of the venue could operate their coffee. And that's what they did. So they started opening up the Starbucks We Proudly Brews all over the country in those venues. And that's exactly what we're doing. A recent example that I just got to tell you, Josh, I think is genius, is Pizza Hut partnered with Cinnabon. And so every pizza place on the planet that I'm aware of says, hey, we have dough, we can get sugar and cinnamon. So they take dough, they slice it into strips, maybe roll in a little bit of butter, put the sugar cinnamon on, and you've got cinnamon sticks for dessert. Pizza Hut recently contracted with Cinnabon. And so when you go to Pizza Hut's website and you order pizza or wings or whatever their offerings are, you can get a 10-piece cinnamon minis, the mini buns that they sell. And it's a Cinnabon quality product. And when you have two quality brands that work together, they kind of, it's called the halo effect, where one brand benefits from the affection of the other. And gosh, Cinnabon is one of those. I think all of us have walked through an airport you get off the gate, maybe you're a little hungry, you know, because you only had one bag of peanuts on the plane and you're walking down the terminal and you smell that Cinnabon and you almost got to have one. And so Cinnabon and their process is just genius. So they have a little frozen puck. They send a case of them to whatever Pizza Hut, and the operations people at Pizza Hut, they just take these little frozen minis out of the freezer, put them in pans. They put a lid on them. They put them in the walk-in cooler to temper. They thaw out when they get an order for them. They run them through the oven at the same temperature and time as the pizzas get run through. They're covered. They come out. They put them in a box. They put icing on it, and it's this wonderful complimentary branded box. It's Cinnabon by Pizza Hut, and it's so, so simple. The cost, the incremental cost to do it in labor is literally zero, and the incremental cost of the equipment in that case is almost zero as well. So you're taking this wonderful brand. It's got such a fantastic name with the public, this delicious product, and they give them the operations with Pizza Hut, and so now the customer is the one that benefits. And so those are a couple different examples, Starbucks and Cinnabon with Pizza Hut on how this is working today.
And so is that what you're doing with Toppers? I mean, you're doing it in that way. You're growing it through a franchise model, but doing it with other complementary brands?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. And so we're in the lobby at the Wyndham Disney with Joffrey's Coffee. And we've been in there for a little over 4.5 years. We're in the little cafe in the lobby at the Drury Inns in the Disney lobby. And it's with their cafe where you serve the snacks and the little breakfast items and coffee. We're in the Tampa Airport Marriott Lobby Cafe. That's a Starbucks we proudly serve. And we have our Toppers Craft Creamery in there. We're getting ready to open in Port Canaveral. And so we're in with different venues, with Marriott, with the Hilton brand in Homewood Suites. And then we're also in with other brands. We are with Starbucks. We are with one Starbucks with Joffrey's Coffee. We're serving Cafe Bustelo, which is a J.M. Smucker's process, and that's on our location at campus at UCF. And so we are the soft serve, just like Wendy's does with their Frosty and just like McDonald's does with their soft serve. It's just a complimentary dessert offering to go along with their primary offering. And that's what we feel the sweet spot is in the market.
So it's interesting because as a franchisee of a typical, you know, retail shop or retail ice cream place, you know, your job is you're going to go in, you're going to find the location, you're going to lease it out, you're going to hire your employees, you're going to run your ice cream shop. In this instance, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like the franchisee really is going to be making part of their job, or a big part is going to be making relationships with other corporations so that they can partner up and participate in a complementary branding process within a territory. I mean, is that how the opportunity is set up?
You know, I think it's new enough right now that we're looking at this more of a national, to do it on a national level, to be with a franchisor. And so I think from a standpoint of legal and the documents and the financial side of things, franchisees certainly can come through us and say, hey, we want to do this. And so, you know, as an attorney, you know, some different franchisors are going to allow that, others are not, to have that inside of their walls. And so we're looking at doing relationships on a national basis where we become an option for this operator, because the whole target of this, the core and foundation of this is how can we help the operator to make more money? And if we're doing that, the franchisor is going to make a little bit more money in fees because you have that ice cream. And even as a fractional franchise, gosh, if they're doing $1 million in their operation and they add even just 5% to that, well, if that 5% is highly profitable at, you know, 50 or 55 or 60%, it really makes a tremendous amount of sense, you know, for that operator. And so I guess the other scenario is desperation. And so there are other brands that, you know, the operators are running 80, 90 hours a week personally because they're just trying to do what they can to save costs and to keep their doors open. And so we're looking at that from both sides, but there's always going to have to be parent company knowledge of the host brand for parent company approval.
Well, and I get that. That makes good sense. You're obviously, as you indicated, you're passionate about this. You even wrote a book about it, as you indicated, called Inside the Box, The Power of Complementary Branding. Talk a little bit about that and talk about writing that book. And why do you think it is that you're so passionate about it? You just think it's a really good, smart business model that a lot of people should pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, I do. And I think it's kind of funny. And one of the comments I made in the book is I kind of nerd out when it comes to complementary branding. And so it's almost like a puzzle. I think we like to be challenged all the time. And so the book just came out, Inside the Box, The Power of Complementary Branding. And it's more of a manual on how to do this. And so that's really the intent. One of the things that was fun about the book, and I got to tell you, Josh, he'd be a great guest for your show, is I was able to meet and sit down with Ed Renzi. Ed was the president and CEO of McDonald's USA. And so the way I was able to track him down is I did research and I wanted to find out who was in charge when they added soft serve. And so McDonald's brought in soft serve in the mid 90s and then added McFlurry. And so I was able to track Ed down and I was able to get him to sit down and meet with me. And he was just very gracious in all the time that he gave me. And just kind of from that national standpoint, how do you go through this, you know, this whole thing? And so that's what the book is about. You know, how do you take a host brand and how do you add another brand in? And the book is not a self-serving book. It's, at least it's certainly not meant to be a self-serving book on, you know, hey, why you should add, you know, Topper's Craft Creamery. The book is about figuring out how do you add a brand inside of a brand and leverage what the best thing for that would be. The reality is there's no unicorn product that's going to fit everywhere. Maybe coffee or cookies are the two closest that I could, that I could think of. But really trying to start the discussion or to continue the discussion in a much bigger way on complementary branding so we can help these operators, you know, to really get what they're looking for, whether it's extra money to put their kids through college or the ability to retire a little bit earlier, or in some cases, just to preserve their investment and keep the doors open so they don't lose everything they have.
So what's been the biggest challenge that you've had thus far with Topper's? I mean, has there been, you know, obviously in every system, there's challenges or, as I like to refer to them, opportunities for success, whichever lens you want to use. What is one opportunity for success that you had to, you know, search for and sort of tweak some things, if there is one, you know, with the Topper's brand?
You know, and I'm not sure it's as much for the Topper's brand because we did so much work and put in so many hours of time into it. The biggest hurdle I think we faced is, I'll use a couple of quote Henry Ford. You know, Henry Ford said, if I asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. And so we're in an industry that's trying to figure out how to find that faster horse. And so I think what we're doing has been something that has been tried in the past. When you look at KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut, you look at some other brands that have done, and that's really more co-branding. So that's putting brands together, but really not integrating them. You know, the key here is how do you integrate the brand? So you have to think Legos instead of blocks. And so these things have to fit together. So our biggest challenge, Josh, really has just been to get people to think a little bit outside the box. So that's actually why I titled the book that way, as a play on the thinking outside the box, you know. And so it's, hey, how do I think outside the box, inside the box? And so for complementary branding, so I'll use maybe pretzels as an example. If you're whatever, name the brand, and you're doing $1 million a year in sales at a 2,000 square feet, your revenue per square foot is $500 a year. If you can add pretzels in there, and a pretzel oven is, you know, whatever, a couple of feet wide, and maybe you've got another 2 feet of counter space for a prep area. You know, I was talking about the Pizza Hut analogy. The space to do that is very small. And so if you're an existing space, maybe you're a cafe in a lobby or in a mall or on a college campus, and you could add 4 linear feet of counter space, and that counter space is 2.5 feet, and it was doing, or I'm back to my other analogy, I'm sorry, the 2,000 square foot. If you could add that 4 feet by 2.5 foot, and maybe you only do $50,000, you know, it's just a small portion, whether it's pretzels or ice cream or smoothies or whatever it would be, if you're doing 50 grand in 10 square feet, that's $5,000 a square foot as opposed to the $500 a square foot. And so it's how do you really drive up that sales per square foot without blowing out a wall and really use maximum leverage for that space that you have and maximum leverage for the employees that you have. And so it's that complimentary day part, Brad. It's for a sandwich space. It's that afternoon day part and that late night day part where they're really not that busy. And so how do you really make those day parts work for you to drive your sales up with very little additional costs?
Well, it's interesting. You know, as I'm sitting here listening to this, it seems to me at its core, you're really offering a brand an opportunity to add another vertical to what they do.
Yes.
I mean, in certain instances, it's like, hey, we're not going to expand your footprint. We're going to add another way for you to make more money in your existing footprint. And I think that's a really smart way to approach it.
Thank you. And that's exactly right, Josh. And one of the other things I did is I got some other opinions. And so there are some just rock solid, smart people in the industry. One of the people that wrote for the book is a lady named Lisa Oak. And Lisa has her own advisory group, and she has subsequently taken the chief development officer position at Big B Coffee. Lisa, at one point, was the vice president of a company called Franchise Brands LLC. They were a subsidiary of Subway. And so what Subway would do is Subway would either buy or contract with brands to allow the Subway operators to operate other brands, and particularly in venues like Walmarts and things like that, where they have that customer that wants more than just a sandwich. Maybe the customer that comes in there, they want a treat or a snack, maybe a pretzel or an ice cream or something, instead of a meal with the sandwich. And so Lisa did that. So she was familiar with how to integrate brands. And so I did some research, found Lisa. And so she wrote a piece about brand integration in my Ask the Experts chapter of the book. And so we tried to get as much information out there as we could to allow people to make the best decision and, you know, find what product might fit best for them at their location. And I think the reality is there's going to be several different solutions that are going to make sense. In some cases, there might be more than one that fits inside of a brand. Maybe smoothies and cookies fit in one particular brand on a college campus, and another brand it may be, you know, ice cream or coffee or both. But it's understanding how to walk through that process and ask the questions. And so the book really asks a whole bunch more questions, you know, specific to what the operators and the brands are looking for, than it does provide all the different answers, because the answers are going to be based on the brand and the venue and all that.
Well, so in our final couple minutes together, I mean, you have experiences, as we've talked about, on the franchisee and the franchisor side, and many people who listen to this are either contemplating becoming a franchisee or turning their business into a franchise and becoming a franchisor. If you had a crystal ball and you could look back, you know, what's something that you think for both a franchisee and a franchisor that they should be thinking about before they jump into the endeavor? I mean, there's probably lots of things to choose from, but if you're thinking about somebody who's contemplating a concept, a brand as a franchisee, what's something that you think, based off your experience, would be very, very important for them to consider? And then same for the franchisor.
The answer is kind of the same. And so, maybe not, but the two things I think that come to mind are, what are your core competencies? And so what are you really, really good at? One of the conversations, to answer the question, just a quick analogy from my conversation with Ed Renzi. Ed was talking about McDonald's. And they tried so many different products. You can look through and find out all the different things that they've had in and out. And Ed told me, he says, Greg, we developed a pizza. He said, this pizza was the best product I've ever had. And in every single situation when we did blind taste tests, our pizza always won. First place every single time. He said, but when we identified it as a McDonald's product, he said, it never did better than halfway up the path. And Ed said, the reason for that is because people's perception of our core competency was that we were in the hamburger and french fry business, and we didn't have any business being in the pizza business. So the core competency, what do you do best? Do what you best and stick with it. And the other thing is, and when you, especially as a franchisor, what provides you with a competitive advantage? What can you do better than everybody else? And so as a franchisee, I think you have to look at both of those elements as well. Core competency, what do you love to do and what are you good at? You know, typically what you love to do and what you're good at are the same thing. It's kind of like me with our passion for complementary branding. You know, they kind of follow, you know, with each other. And what's your competitive advantage? You know, individually, do I as a person have the ability, maybe I have, if I'm a home inspector, to do a franchise, do I have a knack for doing that? Do I have a level of detail or maybe a level of perfectionism that sometimes suits me, sometimes doesn't, you know, but in that particular situation, the level of detail would, you know, be critical to the success of a home inspection franchise. So what as a person, you know, do I have? Is it sustained work ethic? Is it the ability to create relationships? Is it a particular position inside of a community where you're known as an expert in a particular field? And so it's really looking at each individual situation as a franchisee and asking what can I really do best and what can I, you know, that's going to set me apart from everybody else.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for coming on. Obviously, your book, Inside the Box, The Power of Complementary Branding, sounds like it's a fascinating read. Where could somebody pick that up, number one? And then if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to find more about Toppers or just to connect with you, what's a good way to do that?
The book is available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle editions. I'm probably 60 to 90 days out from the audiobook format, so it takes a little longer on that. And they can go to our website, to topperscraftcreamery.com. That'll give you some additional information on who we are, what we're doing. There's an assessment on there that if you are determining whether this fits for you or for your brand, there's an assessment you can take, and my contact information is on there. And I welcome a call, whether it's to say, hey, does Toppers fit for us? Or if there's just somebody, even if you're in a completely different business and you like the topic and just want to talk to somebody to understand it a little bit better or just to talk about it. I'm really passionate, as we talked about, on what I do. And so I'm open to a conversation with anybody who's thinking about this. And so I always like to meet kindred spirits or folks that are searching. And, you know, we're all trying to be a little bit better tomorrow than we are today.
I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and share your passion, share your vision, and talk a little bit about your business and your business model. So thanks again, Greg. I wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Oh, thank you, Josh.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.